Today on Real Life Radio.
Everything that he does in our lives, I don't care if you are unemployed or you're at the top of the corporate ladder, God is absolutely faithful and gloriously awesome to take always two fish and a couple of buns and turn it into something fantastic. He always takes what you and I can't do, and he does it. You and I know he's the one doing it. He gets all the glory, and we get to be involved.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Jesus is More Than Enough. You know, this series called The Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus as only Luke, a physician, can do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 9, we'll discover how the Jesus of the Bible is all we could ever need. You see, the more we understand and learn from Jesus, the more we'll want from him. Jesus knows our every concern. He is sufficient, more than enough, more than adequate, more than satisfactory, more than competent. And he's more than capable of reaching this lost world. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that the Lord will sometimes ask us to do the impossible. Jesus uses these situations to bring our heads out of the clouds and back on earth where only he can help, and he's going to do it through us. Now, with his message called Jesus is More Than Enough, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
It says in verse 12, now when the day, that is, began to wear away, that's the time between 4 and 6 o'clock in the evening in Israel, from 4 o'clock to sunset, the 12 came to him. Now watch, the 12, the disciples, the apostles, came, and they said to him, it's in quotes, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. On the surface, that sounds so nice. Jesus, send them away. Guess what? Right in the midst of them is the Lord God. Church, has he not done tremendous miracles in their presence? Did he not get them successfully across on a very stormy night in a boat ride? Did they not see him heal and cleanse people of leprosy and all kinds of diseases and opening the eyes of the blind? They watched this firsthand. They come to him, and I know it sounds nice on the surface, but be careful. Send the people away. Well, this is not a suggestion they're giving. The Greek construction is a military command. They come to Jesus, and they say, send them away. We're telling you, send them away. Thank you for doing that. Thanks. Get rid of them. Who are they talking to? Jesus. They issue to him a command. In a military term. Do you see now why it's possible that Jesus, when he saw them come and they were talking about what they did on their little ministry tour, that Jesus now says, why don't we take a break? Don't you think Jesus, being God, knew that those people would put on their Nikes and run along the shore and beat them to the other side? Don't you think Jesus knew that? Don't you think that Jesus knew that when they got out of the boat and the people were there, that he greeted them and made them feel warm and welcomed? And then spoke to them about the true issue, about being born again, and then backed up what he said by doing the miracles of healing people? Who was watching the whole time? The disciples. Why did they need to do that? Because they were getting on the microphone and they were saying, sit down, be quiet. They were burned out. They were starting to minister in the flesh. And listen, I'm going to tell you, it always happens this way. When a police officer, a minister, a doctor, a nurse, anybody, when they start, being snippy. Is that the right word, snippy? It's not. I know it's not English. It's got to be slang, American. Snippy. Short. It's time for a break. When somebody says, excuse me, but what? Oh, I think we need to take a break. You guys, I got to tell you, I work for God. I get like that sometimes. You know who's the first one to always? Yeah, Lisa. It's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Lisa. Jack, and she's so great. You need to get alone with the Lord. Isn't that a great way of putting it? You need to get alone with the Lord. Why? It's true. And so they issue this command. Jesus, send them away. Man, who's working for who here? Wow. You know, the Bible says it's one of the most beloved Old Testament verses, Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. I hate to run. Now I hate to run. I used to like it when I was a kid, just like you did. But as you can see, I hate to run. And I used to have that written on my running shoes, Isaiah 40, 31. It's an awesome verse. Those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall run and not be weary. They will walk and they shall not faint. Isn't that a great verse? Listen, our strength's renewed when we wait upon the Lord. How do we do that? Actually, get alone, turn off everything, and just be before him. Find your rendezvous. If you don't have one, make one. Yeah, that's why I use my car. Cars are good for devotions and listening to radio and sermons, and that's great, but you know what? You're distracted when you're in the car. Get alone. Bathrooms are great. No one, who's going to bother you in the bathroom? Go to the bathroom, lock the door. Get alone with God. Climb a tree. We have big trees in my backyard. I'll climb a tree. Who's going to look at a tree for a middle-aged man? No one's going to. Where is he? They never think I'm up the tree. Things are nice up there. Find it for you. What works for you? Is it down at the beach? I don't know. Find it. Get a date with God. Get alone with him. Watch what happens. You will actually begin to be strengthened and renewed. I got to tell you guys, all this may be too personal. Those are good old Calvary songs from way back at Costa Mesa days, man. And I'm remembering, and there's been a lot of stuff heavy in my heart. I got this stuff cooking in my heart. I've told you that Sunday nights are just really wearing on me with the Islam study and all that stuff. Very depressing. And it's been heavy. And he said, he's leading us in a song. And what was it? Peace like a river. Peace. Oh my gosh, Jesus, Lord. And we're all singing. And I'm singing, peace like a river. Yes, Lord. I've been losing peace. I didn't realize it till the song was sang in my head. Then I heard it. I remembered, oh my goodness, I've been so bogged down with all this stuff that I'm losing my peace in the Lord. Wow. God, I need peace. Now, this is all taking place during the song, and you thought I was being very normal over there. But what was going on was ministering. He was ministering to me. Lord, I need peace. I need your peace. I'm getting all messed up. Next thought in my head, ask me. You have not because you asked not. Okay, here I come, God. I'm asking. I need peace. And you know what? He's all sufficient. Jesus is enough. He comes in, he floods your heart, and he realigns everything, begins to make sense of it again. He's in the midst of us. And then if that wasn't enough, listen, when we can't see the way out, listen for God to say something impossible to us. That's the next thing I want you to see in verse 13. He'll say something impossible to us. You say, what are you talking about? I thought the guys were already stressed. Our mind is like this. Oh, are you guys stressed? Yes. Oh, here's two tickets to fill in the blank. Here's two tickets to Maui. Here's two tickets to the game. I don't know what your thing is. Did you know that's not going to work? I've tried that. Man, I'm so stressed. I need to take a break. You can take all the breaks you want, but unless it's a God break, it's not going to happen. I've been on vacations, and it was the worst thing I could have done. My routine's broken. My schedule's all messed up. Man, I tell you what, make sure you take Jesus on your break. And in a moment, everything can be changed. Everything can be changed. Well, what does he do to get us realigned? Don't be surprised if in the midst of our pressure, he winds up laying one more thing on us, and it's not for evil, it's for good. It's to get us to realize that God deals in the impossible. And he uses you and I to do it. That's the freaky thing. God might say, I tell you what, I'm going to do something impossible. Jack, come here. I want to do it through you. But God, I'm tired. I'm going to do it through you. Yeah, I don't know what to do. I'm going to do it through you. I don't want to. You don't want to? Oh. Well, then I'll use somebody else. No, use me. Aren't we weird? Sometimes as Christians, we got a cross around our neck, but big, big diapers on. No, yes, okay, no. He'll say something impossible to us. Right in the middle of everything, like this. When it says here in verse 12, send them away, they said. Look what he says. Verse 13, Jesus says to them, you give them something to eat. You need to circle the word you here. In the Greek, he comes right back at them. You think they threw a punch? You think they threw a left? He gave them a right jab right back. I love this. Jesus didn't say, now boys, guys, come on. You're going to be the big 12. They're going to talk about you guys forever. Now you need to really buck up, okay? You know what he says? This is beautiful. Us guys get this. Ladies, this is kind of like abrasive. In fact, listen to what Charles Spurgeon said about this. Spurgeon said, it's a firm yet gracious aggressiveness coming from Christ. Lord, send them away. It's late. They need to go get food and all that stuff. Jesus says to them, you feed them. You feed them. The word is stressed on the you. You feed them. Isn't that beautiful? Can you imagine at that moment? They must have went, what? Like smelling salt. What are you doing talking to us like that? We're the big guys. 12 of us went out and did miracles. Come on, Jesus, don't you know who you are now? I mean, we're big time ministers. We want black donkeys in our own private parking spots? Antennas on the tails? We're the disciples. Can you imagine? We are the disciples, my friend. Jesus says, you feed them. Could you see the air coming out of their head? He's pulling them right out of the clouds. Their feet are dangling from clouds. He pulls them down and puts them right back onto the ground. What are you guys doing? You feed them. You big shot ministers, take care of it. Wow, I would love to have seen this. As long as it's happening to them, it's great. Give them something to eat. And then verses 13 to 14, learn. For God is about to do a work. And they said, like they're going to inform him of something. We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there are about 5,000 men. Then he said to the disciples, make them to sit down in groups of 50. Now they start to realize, oh my goodness, he's calling on us to do this and we can't do it. And now they start giving excuses. That's impossible. That's right. It is impossible. It is impossible. John chapter 6 tells us that what they were talking about was almost a year's wages. We don't even have enough money to do that. We'd have to spend a year's wages to feed these people. Imagine there's a little kid there. And we don't know exactly how this happened. But it was found out that a little kid has lunch with him. You imagine the little guy's going out of the house. Where are you going to go? I'm going to go see what Jesus is going to do today, Mom. All right then, well, here's your lunch. Here's 5 loaves and 2 fish. The bread's for coming and going, and the fish is for lunch, and you know, stay out of the way. Little kid sitting there and all the stuff's going on. Can you imagine these 12 disciples are looking? Man, hey, there's a bag right over here. This kid's got a bag. Jesus said, you feed them. That's not much, is it, huh? Do you get the picture? It's never much. What you and I have to give them? Church, listen, I hate to upset you, but it's just too bad. God has never once ever accepted any of our excuses as to why we can't do something for him. I'm here to tell you, and it applies to me too. He has never, not once, ever listened to our excuse as to why we can't obey him. The disciples, they were super blessed in their ministry outreach because they simply obeyed the command of the Lord. Do you think they did anything? Do you think they had any? Do you think they had like a little thing in their pocket, a little electronic thing that beep and it opened the eyes of the blind? Watch this, boop, and the deaf could hear. They could do nothing. Jesus said, "I want you to go preach, and I want you to do these things." And they went and did it. They had great success. Then they came back with their heads pumped up. Absolutely amazing. Everything that he does in our lives, I don't care if you are unemployed or you're at the top of the corporate ladder, God is absolutely faithful and gloriously awesome to take always 2 fish and a couple of buns and turn it into something fantastic. He always takes what you and I can't do, and he does it. You and I know he's the one doing it. He gets all the glory, and we get to be involved. Thank you, Lord. Anything other than that, you're messing up. Well, you know, I got a PhD and I got my doctorate in divinity and I got my master's in, ooh. What did we ever do before you? Think about it. Those things become hindrances most often. We do better when we get alone with him, with his book open, his Bible, and learn from him. We need to be so very careful, church. Whatever God does, he's the one doing it. And when he, listen, he's gracious. If we start to grab onto it and hold it, what does he do? He doesn't wrestle with us. He just backs away. Just like a train going out down the desert on a track. You could never tell when that engineer pulls the power off because it will go for 20 more miles with no power. God will just back up and let the thing crash or run out of steam. We need to be very careful about that. God is going to do a work. Third and final point, verses 15 to 17, the Lord provides what others cannot. Verses 15 to 17, look at verses 15. Here it says, and they did so. They did so, and they made them all to sit down. Then he took the five loaves and the two fish, and he looked up into heaven. And what do we learn from that? That Jesus is our great heavenly mediator, don't we? Say, Jack, I don't have much. Listen, whatever you have, give it to the Lord. You have health? Well, I'm not as healthy as I used to be. Hey, you listen, are you able to move? Give it to God. Are you breathing? Give it to the Lord. Do you have a nickel? Give it to God. Do you have any energy? Do it for the Lord. What is it? Do you have a company? Use it for God's influence. Listen, there's no excuse he'll accept. It's all about him. It's all for him. And Jesus Christ is our heavenly mediator about these things. You see, I can't do anything. Of course you and I cannot do anything. That's the point. Those of us in this room who know what we really are, we are weak, frail, terrified things. The Lord says, all right, just like a glove laying on the table, let me put my hand in you and I'll do the rest. All is required of us is for us to say, here I am, Lord, fill me. Use me, send me, work with me. Whatever you're gonna do in the world, God, will you do with me? Could you imagine? There's enough people in this room to pray that prayer to the Lord and put a gigantic smile on his face. Man. He's our heavenly mediator, Jesus is. He looks up to heaven. You take whatever you have in your life and you just hold it up to heaven too. You might want to write this down. This is Alexander McLaren. This is a great quote from him. Alexander McLaren on this point says this, the best preparation for any true servant of the Lord is knowing that what he has for the task at hand is wholly inadequate. Can you imagine? Sending a football team out on the field, they've got no helmets, no pads, no cleats. Well, the servants of God, we bring nothing to the table. When those disciples went out and preached in his name, they didn't invent the message. The Holy Spirit was at work. All that stuff that took place was by the power of God. I love that quote. The best preparation for any true servant of the Lord is knowing that what he has for the task at hand is wholly inadequate. We also learn this, that the Lord provides what others can't, and that he resides or presides over his church. Look at, he blessed, looking up into heaven, he blessed, he broke, and he gave to the disciples, and they set before the people. That there is the success outline for ministry. Jesus looks up, blesses it, takes our lives and breaks it up, gives it to other people to give to other people. That's Christianity. That's what we should be all about. That's what I want to be about. What a beautiful thing that is. He presides over his church, and he's very good to do that. And then look at verse 17 and we're done. The Lord provides what others can't, and that he brings satisfaction. It says in verse 17 that they all ate and they were filled. These are fun words. They all ate. Do you know what all means? Every single person ate. Nobody was without. And then how full were they? You ever seen Winnie the Pooh cartoons when he's eating all those jars of honey? and his stitching is about ready to break and all the fluff is coming out of him. That's the word. Everyone's about ready to pop. Oh, can you, Peter, you want some more bread? No. I'm so full. A moment ago, there was nothing. Now there's everything. I love this. Everyone's sitting around toothpicks, laying on the beach. Oh, man. And then there's 12 baskets full. Who's that for? There's 12 of them. Oh, I guess it's for us. You think that was like God saying, hey, here's some ministry perks. Go get them, guys. Oh, I don't think so. I think the Lord, in a very loving way, oh, please don't be upset with this. I think the Lord, in a very loving way, was kind of rubbing their nose into how wrong they were. We don't have anything. Oh, man, I can't believe it. Oh, we just have 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. We'd have to take a whole year's of money to feed these people. Why don't you feed them anyway, Jesus? Send them away. He not only feeds everybody, there's 12 baskets, and I'm pushing it here, I know, but I wouldn't be surprised if each basket had the disciple's name on it. With a little bag and a little name on there. Peter. Andrew. Go home now. Did you get the lesson, guys? Did you get the point? I'm able to do all that is needed, enough. I'm sufficient to take nothing. And at the end, have an abundance. He's well able to do that, you guys. Absolute satisfaction all the time. And so he brought bread to the people. We'll end here. You can close your Bibles and relax. It's a wonderful thing to realize that the next day, we don't get this from Luke's text right here, but this miracle, you guys, is done in all 4 Gospels. It's recorded in all 4 of them, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You have to read all 4 to get the full scope of what's going on. The next day, Jesus preaches to the same crowd a message that ties the miracle and everything together. He will tell them tomorrow, I'm the bread of life. Moses didn't bring you bread from heaven. He didn't feed you bread from heaven. My Father fed you bread from heaven. Moses gave you nothing. It was my Father. I have come down from heaven. I am the bread of life. Wow. Jesus, all sufficient. He is, you know. Is that true in your life? He's got everything. Let him in that he may feed you well.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Jesus is More Than Enough. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio.
Hey everybody, Pastor Jack here. I want to let you guys in on something. We literally brought a book back to life. We resurrected a book that was out of print for your junior higher, high schooler, and your college age kid. You've got to get a copy of Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith's book titled, He Who Thinks Has to Believe. So mom and dad, grandma and grandpa, listen to this. Get this book for your kid, junior high school, college age kid, because as they get into this book, and they're going to want to get into it, it's fascinating. They're going to love it. Sit down with them, read it with them, watch what happens. Their world is being rocked, and you need to infuse truth into their life with this great book. Once again, don't miss it. Don't miss it. He Who Thinks Has to Believe by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith.
He Who Thinks Has to Believe by Dr. A.E. Wilder Smith. It's a great book, and it's our book of the month for the month of February. You can get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.